Hello and welcome to the Anchor Wellness Podcast. I am your host, Niamh Hayes. This is a podcast all about health and wellness, where I'll be sharing information and tips and hearing from people who have their own health and wellness story to tell. This week's episode is with Sheena Healy. Sheena is a coastal rower from Arklow who finished fourth at the World Rowing Coastal Championships last year. She joins me to chat about the sport, how she got involved, how it's changed over the years, and our hopes for the future. Sheena, welcome to the Anchor Wellness Podcast.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
For anyone who doesn't know you, can you give us a brief introduction to who you are and where you are in the world?
Yeah, so I'm a coastal rower from Arklow. I've rowed with the club for nearly about 12 years now. And I'm also a chartered accountant as well.
So. Brilliant, you are kept busy, so.
Exactly, yes, yeah.
You said you got involved in rowing 12 years ago. So before that, were you, I suppose, always involved in sport? Were you active as a kid?
No, to be honest, like I always loved sport. I was always surrounded by it growing up. Like my dad was involved in a local club in the town and was a chairman there for a couple of years. So when I was younger, kind of around like 10 or 11 years, I played football for a while. Mm-hmm. So like we were always like active growing up and always out playing football or whatever. And then when I started secondary school, we started playing hockey there. So I started there in first year and then kind of played hockey all the way up to about after TY in or about. And that's when then I joined the rowing club. So
okay, cool. And what kind of attracted you to rowing?
Well, to be honest, like it was more, we were kind of in between TY and fifth year, and then a friend of a friend just asked if we want to go down and try rowing. And like at this point I had never even heard of the rowing club in the town, or I wasn't even too sure what it was. So I was actually playing hockey in Gorey at the same time. So we went down rowing anyway a couple of times. Like you had a few tries before you decided then if you wanted to join. So then the training times kind of clashed with the hockey. But then look, from the first time I went out on the water, like I was hooked. I just loved it. Like we went out, the first boat I think we were in was like the Celtic Longboat. And just like the feeling being out on the water, like it blew my mind. So needless to say, I finished with the hockey and joined the rowing club then. So
I think a lot of people who actually tried the sport of rowing, they have maybe never tried it before and they start and they're just like, wow, okay, hook it to my veins.
Yeah, it's just the feeling being out on the water. It's just unbelievable, like, you know, so yeah.
So it was the longboat you started in, and obviously you're rowing something totally different now. Have you tried lots of different types of rowing over the years?
Yes. So we're like, yeah, I changed a good bit over the years, really. So like when I started to row, yeah, like I said, we were just to learn how to row. We're in the Celtic longboat for a bit. And then we have the skiffs, like the traditional boats here on the East Coast. So I'd say this was in around like 2011. So we just kind of started in early summer, and then we were just kind of racing the skiff then up. And our first race then that year was kind of, I think it was up in Paddy's Rowing Club there on the Liffey. So we were kind of like rowing around like under 18 at the time. And then at the same time, we were also rowing the One Design boat. So that year we were training for that then as well. And the All-Irelands that year were on down in Wexford. So we were kind of rowing like under 18s and 21s there and in the All-Ireland boat. So it was just kind of a mix really, like for the first year or two of those two. And then into like 2012, 2013 was still kind of rowing those two. And kind of we also had a quad in the club at the same time. So I think it was in around 2013. We're kind of like, oh geez, this looks interesting, so I want to try that. So we got in and done a bit of rowing, and we actually took part in, there was a Round the Eye challenge in Malahide in 2013. So it was like an 18 kilometer row. So we done that year, and the Barrow as well. So that was another, like, I think it was like 16 or 18 kilometer row. So it was just kind of got a taste for that kind of row. And then, into 2014 season, we were still like skiff row and One Design, like that was the main things in the club. And people my age kind of had left it, you know, like people kind of in and out of sport, and like I wanted to keep racing, like I loved it. So like they were putting crews together and stuff for like a women's senior crew for the 2014 season, and like you had to like do an ERG test and stuff. So the best four then were picked for the crew. So got into the top four anyway. So like, nice. And this time in the club, like there was a lot of competitive women to contend with, you know what I mean? So like there was a super group down there. So that was really just in the skiffs really. And we had like a really good season in 2014 and won the East Coast Championship. And like then in the one design, I think if like, 3 senior All-Ireland medals. I think 2 were from Waterville. I think it was in Waterville in 2014 and 2015. Mm-hmm. So like it just kind of kept changing, but like they were the main 2 initially. Then back into the longboat really, then kind of into the winter of 2015, we were training for the 2016 Celtic Challenge. So that's the row over to Wales. So
oh cool.
Yeah, so I was 22 at the time then. So like, but the training for that like always sticks in my mind, like even today when like I'm racing the single, like it was like so enjoyable, like, and when you're kind of racing for that, you're part of the group and you literally felt like you were a family, like at this stage their own club was like a second home. So like, and I was kind of the younger one in the group at the time, so I was like, oh, I need to make sure I put my weight in this crew. But in 2016, unfortunately, it actually just got cancelled. The weather was too bad to go across. Yeah, so but look, we still went over the ferry, but didn't row over. So, but always just that time kind of racing and training for that really kind of always sticks in my head, like, you know. So that's kind of a mix of skiffs, one design, longboat. And then kind of, I think it was like in around 2015, I kind of got more into like the sliding seats, like we were still the other boats as well, but then I think it was in 2015 we went over to Wales. There was like a Dinas Head challenge. I think it was just rowing in a double with some guy from Wales over there just to get a bit of that kind of racing, you know what I mean? And then kind of into the 2016 kind of season again, it was still a mix really this year of kind of everything. Was like the skiffs, the sliding boats, and I think the one design was, I think the All-Irelands were up in Donegal that year, and like everything's going on then as well, like at the same time as finishing college and starting a job, and you know. So but then I think it was more so that year I was kind of like, I loved like the sliding seats, and I was like, I really want to keep going with that, like. And so I was kind of got into the single then. So There was a double like in the club, and there was like 2 older singles, and you're kind of looking at those boats and you're like, oh, so I'd like to try those. So that's kind of where then I kind of got into the single. Like I felt at that stage, like we've kind of done a lot in the skiffs, and you know, and I kind of just wanted a new challenge really. So that kind of led into the 2016 and trained in that then, and kind of set my sights on my first world championship then that year. So that's kind of where it kind of all took off from really.
I must actually look over my dates and see, did we row against each other in the one design boat? I bet you we did, you know.
Oh, you probably did.
I probably did, you know.
So when you got into the single, was it like an immediate thing being like, yes, I know for a fact I am going to go to the Worlds?
Yeah, the club had attended a few before, like some of the other years. And I was like, I knew like, there was potential that like, oh my god, I could actually go here. So when I got into the single, I was just like training, and like we're not from a river rowing background, like, and we were coming from the skiffs, like, and then you get into this and you're like, how do I even row this? And you're like, you know what I mean, like I didn't even know anything about technique or how you did it, so we just had to learn ourselves, you know what I mean, and kind of just going out and seeing what happens. But yeah, I was definitely, then I knew that the first Worlds were coming up that year, so I really really wanted to go.
Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know kind of maybe about rowing or about skiffs, like the skiffs is you're just sitting there and it's purely like upper body horsing through the water, isn't it?
Yeah like they're big traditional boats, they're kind of like, yeah, big wooden boats, and like, yeah, you're kind of just throwing your whole weight back on the oar, like kind of nearly total opposite of, there's no legs in it at all compared to the other boats, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that must have been some change for your body going into the sliding.
Yeah,
seats.
definitely. Yeah, no, once I got into it, like I was just, because when we had the taste for it, like in 2013 and we were in the quad, and I was like, this is amazing. So I was like, yeah, into the single now.
So 2016, you were in the single training away. Did you actually go to the Worlds that year?
I did, yeah. So first Worlds. So this was in Monaco. So like I said, like we didn't even have one pieces at this stage, like, and didn't know anything about technique, but you know, like just wanted to go and to learn and just to see what it was all about. So Monaco then heats, and then I got into the B final. I was fourth in the B final that year. So amazing. 24th overall. So yeah, but it was just like such an experience. And like in Monaco, like it's absolutely fabulous. Like, you know what I mean? You just see all these other international rowers kind of going around. You're like, oh my God, like this, there's so much going on like outside of like our crew about this, you know what I mean? So it was just like, it just kind of opened my eyes really, like, you know what I mean?
And was it big in Ireland at the time? Was there many Irish actually at that Worlds?
To be honest, no, there wasn't too, there weren't too many races in Ireland for that type of rowing. And like, that's kind of why, like, I had set my sight on the Worlds. And like, we did travel, like we traveled abroad for many races, like after the Worlds. So like, once we came back from Monaco, I was like, oh, wow. And like, there were a few Irish, over there, but like not what as many as there are now. So like after that, and like after 2016 into 2017, I was like, oh, I just want to keep learning, getting better. So like I said, like we went over to the British Championship then, like that year. And then that year as well, actually 2017, then Arco hosted the first Rowan Ireland Offshore Championship. So like I think like then there was probably only like, I'm gonna guess, like 20-30 boats in the country. And like when you look at it now, there's probably over 300 boats. So yeah, like, it's just mad. It's mad. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I'd say it might have been actually the first time I met you was at that Worlds in 2017.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was the next one. Like, yeah, that was in, yeah, in like Geneva. And like this one, like this was a one for me, like, because this was the first time someone from Arklo actually qualified for the A final. So it was the first time in the club's history, and it was just an absolutely amazing feeling. Like, it was just like, I knew there'd be many more after me, but like just to be the first to do it, to kind of open the door, to show that like this actually can be done. But yeah, and there was a few more Irish people, like you said yourself and all, like over there, which was great. And like when you kind of start going to these events and you kind of meet new people, you're like, oh look, this is, do you know what I mean? It was just great. Like it's a great kind of experience overall, going away with everyone, like, and it's just kind of like a little group going off.
It's like a little family that's like growing every year.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
So lots more Irish getting involved now at that stage. So what was the next season like for you?
So yeah, so then into 2018, then I was kind of like, right, I'm getting into this. I bought my own boat. So I was like, I'm gonna just be really serious about it now. So then that year as well, we went over to like the Swedish, the British and the Welsh Championship, like, you know, just to get more races in. I was like meddling in all the races. I was like, oh, this is good, like, you know. And 2018 then as well, I won the Irish Championship. I think it was down in Portmead that year. That was a crazy one down there.
Oh yeah, that was like the year of the crazy waves down there. Yeah. I can't think of it now. Somewhere near Carrigdaniel, I think.
Yeah, oh, that was insane. That was crazy. And then that year then, yeah, 2018, so the Worlds were in Canada. So I actually remember there was a good few Irish actually over at the Worlds in Canada. Like that was good. And again, like from Monaco, from France to Canada, like kind of like, oh, kind of getting the same, like to see more people and like you know, make more connections, you know. But that race in Canada, yeah, like that was flat conditions, but it was a good race. Like I came eighth there then in that one, so it's
pretty good. All right.
Yeah. So and then like back from that one into 2019 was the Irish champs. So they were up in Ballygally, and like at this stage, because there was like the standard here in Ireland was growing and growing, like you're starting to having to qualify. So I think you were racing against myself up in that one in Ballygally. Yeah. And then we all qualified for Hong Kong, so went out there, and like that was an absolute incredible experience. So finished seventh there in that year. So it's just kind of like, oh, kind of wanted to keep going and going, you know.
Yeah, because at this stage you were literally coming up places at every Worlds you were going to.
Yeah, like, and do you know what, like I never went out there like to do it. Like I was just trying to learn and get more races, and I was like, oh, like, it just, it's such an unpredictable sport, do you know what I mean? Like, you could go out and anything could happen, but just to kind of be tipping away and kind of coming in and kind of finishing one place higher, I was like, oh my god, like, this is, it's incredible, you know. And like, at the same time, like, you're kind of living your normal life. Like, I was like, like, you know, you're trying to do your exams and stuff, and like, in between like 19 and 20, I was like doing my final exams. I only remember that because I think the Irish champs in 2020 were down at Port McGee, and I got my results that Friday when we were traveling down, so I was like, this kind of sticks in my mind. But yeah, in 2020 then there was no worlds, I think it was due to COVID. Like, so then kind of in the 2021 then, really, I compete then for Ireland in the endurance and the beach sprints. I know you done that yourself as well with the beach sprints. It's good fun. So we qualified the quad for Ireland there, and then also again that year qualified for the endurance in my single. So this was where the worlds end this year were in Portugal. I know I keep like referring to the worlds, and like each year on year, like, there were more races in Ireland, and like you said, there was more, like, the standard here was just getting better and better. And like, I think that's why, like, when then you go to the, like, to the worlds, like, I was kind of finishing higher as well, like, including yourself, like, you're going out there even here in a race, and like, you're looking across the start line and there's four or five girls there that are like, we're all going for A finals when we go to the worlds, and like, you're there in the finals and you're looking across and you have the same people with you, and you're like, this is mad. Like, it's great, but it's like, it's like you could nearly have a little mini worlds like here, you know, with the way the standard has gone up, like, it's absolutely fantastic. Like,
it is.
So like, in at that year then, so 2021 year was in Oeiras in Portugal. So like, again, like, even going over for the beach sprints, like I said before, like, when you're going from Ireland, like, it's just like we're all kind of there together, a big family, and like, I just loved every minute of it. And that was actually that the rough enough conditions in that one, of it was even mad on the training days trying to come in, and they started doing like the beach starts and stuff, like, so yeah, it was kind of changing a little bit. But and then I finished fifth that year. But like, even starting with the heats for out in Portugal, like, you know yourself, it was insane, and like, there was crashes and whatnot, and I think at one stage I was like second last in the heat and then kind of pulled through and was fourth. So it's just kind of like a mental kind of experience when you're out there, and like, kind of only the people you're out there with kind of know what you're going through, you know what I mean? But like, yeah, it was a great race out in Portugal that year with the fifth place finishing, so kind of just kind of tipping away to the places, you know.
Yeah, because like, if you're at home and you're watching online, you know, and look at the drone footage, it looks all lovely. The sea looks lovely in blue and turquoise. I remember there from Portugal, the scenes were lovely there. But unless you're actually out there, you have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, because like, when you're standing on the beach and you're looking out and it looks kind of calm enough, you're like, okay. And then like, once you get out past the headland, like 500-600 meters out, it's just insane out there. Like, it's like no one on shore knows what's going on out here.
No, nobody knows. But just for anyone who's listening who might not have a clue what we are talking about, how would you describe this type of rowing compared to, like, we'll say the Olympic style?
When people ask me, I kind of say the concept of the rowing is the same, but it's kind of, you'd nearly say it's a mixture of kind of rowing and sailing, as in, like, you know when you see sailboats and they're out in the sea and they're going around these big marks, do you know what I mean? Like, that's exactly what we're doing. So like, the rowing part of it's the same, and we're going out and like, and you have singles, doubles, quads or whatever, so we're rowing the single and you go out and you're trying to do usually about 4 kilometer, and then finals are usually kind of 6 kilometer distances, and you go out and you have to steer to your can and go around your cans, and every course is different, do you know what I mean? And in this type of rowing, you're looking at the waves and the tide and the wind and the swell. Like, there's so many elements that you have to take into account. So I wouldn't say it's tougher, but there's kind of a different element. There's kind of a more fun kind of, like, anything kind of can happen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think in the single, like, it can be such a lonely place out there. Like, if you're out in the middle of the sea, lots of big waves, like thinking back to Portugal and Wales last year, like there's times when you're actually kind of scared and a bit fearful. But then you come in and you get to shore and you're like, wow, okay, I just did that. I just got through that race myself.
Yeah. Oh, it's insane. Because even like you mentioned Wales there, the heats in Wales, like we went out and when we were racing in our heat, it was just so foggy, it was so rough, and you couldn't see, or like you wouldn't even see anyone out there. And like for the first kilometer of the race you might see a few, and then after that there weren't any boats. And then I think I came around the third can, and all I remember is I could see you, and I looked across, and we kind of looked at each other, and I was like, she's probably thinking the same thing in her head that I am now. And I was like, this is insane. It's kind of like, what are we doing out here? Like, it was just, it was mad. Like I said, like, people don't know the feeling or like what we're doing out there when you're, I feel like watching it on TV doesn't even do it justice. You know what I mean? It's just, it's crazy. But then, like you said, like when we come in, it's just kind of, you just kind of, you're like looking at people, you're like, we've been through that together, like, you know what I mean? And it's just such an adrenaline out there. And then like it's nearly an addiction, you kind of want to go again, even though it's crazy when you're out there. But like you said in the single, like it is such a mental thing to go through, like, and you, like, you're just talking to yourself and in your own head the whole time, saying, okay, this is what I'm gonna do, this is here, there, and kind of the waves are coming this way and just kind of gonna steer this way. And it's just like you're kind of just talking yourself through it, you know what I mean? So, but it is amazing. It's amazing at the same time.
If anyone rows near me, they'll probably hear me talking to myself. Probably sound like I'm going crazy, but I actually think it helps me. So we're saying you came fifth in Portugal, but then Wales, that was a big one for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, so kind of mixed emotions.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I just mentioned, like the heat there was insane. But then I thought that was bad when we then the final, like this was probably the roughest conditions any of us have ever been in. And we're kind of there like, is this actually going ahead kind of thing? And they shortened the A final then was from 6 kilometers. They just shortened it down to the 4 kilometers. So, but yeah, I came fourth in Wales. But like, even when I talk about it now, it's kind of, it's mixed emotions. Like, I'm happy and sad at the same time, if that even makes sense.
Yeah.
Because like, if someone had told me like that week, you're like, you're going to finish fourth here, I would have taken their hand off. Because like, and I was like, I didn't even think I could possibly like do any better than I did in the previous year. So I was just, it was just this insane race. Like, and like I said, it was so rough that you're kind of battling it around and talking to yourself in your own head, and you don't really see any boats. And then you might see one pop up on a wave and then down on a wave. And like, when you're going through the first 3K of the race, like, I didn't even know where I was. Like, I had no idea what was going on. So you're kind of battling your way through it. And then I was kind of, I suppose, at the last kilometer, battling it with Maria Berg from Sweden. And like, we were kind of going back and forth, and like, she'd catch one wave and she'd be gone past me, and then I'd get a wave and I'd be gone past her. It was kind of tit for tat almost, like, you know. And then coming up to the finish line, it was so close, and like, it was 2 seconds, like, at the finish, like, and it was so rough. Like, you were coming up to the cans to finish, and usually there'd be two like marker boys to finish through, but like one of them had disappeared, and like we're kind of rowing up and we kind of stopped, and Maria was like, is that it, is this the finish? And I was looked at her and I was like, I don't know, let's keep rowing. So two of us just kept rowing and not knowing where the finish line was. And like, when I got out of the boat then and they said that she'd got the third place or whatever, like, I was crying coming off the water because I couldn't believe it. Like, I was so close, but I was like, after like battling it out. But like, obviously now I'm like delighted and I'm so happy with the result. But it's just kind of in that moment, it's just like, it's kind of very mixed emotions. Like, and like, you're so happy for her. Like, and Maria's like a fantastic coach row. I've been racing against her for years. Like, and she, like, she's so well deserved it. But it's just like, you had it there, you know. But like, it kind of gives you the motivation to kind of keep going, you know, and give it another bash.
Yeah, I'll never forget the scene of, because the race, it was so rough, and it was just, we had no idea what was happening when we were watching from shore. And I think the commentators were mixing up all the Irish rowers, so we didn't know who was coming where. But then on the last leg, we realised, oh, wait a second, Sheena is competing for third position here for a bronze medal at the Worlds. And just the scene of everyone running down the beach, and we were literally running alongside you on the shoreline. You weren't too far away from us. It was just such a class scene. I don't think I'll ever forget it.
Yeah, like they did say when I came in, they were like saying that, and I was like, I wish I had been on the beach to experience that, because when you're out there, like, I couldn't hear anybody, I could hardly see anything, I didn't know what was going on. But like I said, like, it's just that kind of sense of family, and like, I feel like when you're out there, everyone's always supporting each other. Like, it didn't matter who that was coming, if it was an Irish boat, everyone I think would have been like screaming along the beach, you know. But it was just incredible. And like, I know now, like, with that finish, like, it's such an amazing, like, result. But like I said, just in that moment, it was kind of like heartbreaking, you know.
Of course.
But like, it was just such an amazing race. And I do love those conditions, as hard as they are.
I personally wouldn't be a fan of those conditions to myself.
Well, Liv, you can manage to get back into the boat in those conditions. Like, I don't think I'd be able to manage that.
But I think you're kind of lucky up there on the East Coast, because you kind of get to train in those conditions.
Yeah. Oh God, it does be great and kind of all sorts up here now, in fairness. But like, it's all kind of thanks to people in the club going out, and like, you always have other boats on the water, and it's always like, safety is a priority, but like, just you kind of get the chance to go out, and so like, we literally go out on anything, you know what I mean? So
but like, that's incredible, going from 24th in 2016 to 4th. There's really only one way to go from here.
Oh, don't say it. Like, each year you go, and like, each year I go, my goal is to get into the A final firstly, and then like, when you get there, I'm like, okay, let's go for top finish. Because like, you're looking at those names on a list and who you're racing against, and like, you're looking at them and like, you're like, this person's been in the Olympics, this person's like on their national squad, and you're kind of like, oh, no way. But like, I just feel it just kind of shows that like, when you're really committed and you train and you really want something, I think it shows that you can achieve it, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
like, I probably wouldn't be the best. I've kind of not been the best for having too much confidence in myself and going out there and doing it. But I just kind of, I feel like I'm nearly proving to myself year on year that I am kind of getting there and kind of creeping up. But look, who knows what like next year or any of the years kind of holds, or you know, I'll just keep going anyway and see what happens.
Yeah, it's so incredible. Like, as you said, some of these athletes are full-time, or you know, they've been to the Olympics, or they're funded, whereas at the end of the day, you have to come home and you have to go back to work. So it's so incredible. And like, have you found over the years, as you've kind of grown in the sport, has the demand kind of increase? Like, have you had to change your training to kind of keep up with the demands?
Yeah, like, I suppose in kind of the later years, like, to be honest, like, I love rowing, and like, it's nearly become part of my life. It's like a part of who I am now. But I suppose like, it's changed over the years in terms of like, education and kind of learning about this type of rowing. Like I said, like, especially coming from more traditional, kind of getting into this, and like, year on year you're trying to like, get better technically, like, you know what I mean, and kind of trying to go to these races just to learn more and more, and like, meet people, and you're just talking, and like, that's kind of where it's kind of changed. Like, I've always kind of had the commitment, but like, you're trying to stay on top, I suppose, do you know what I mean, kind of in that way. And I suppose that's really like, with like the demand, like the support here is like, the standard has kind of grown so much as well, like, you're trying to like, stay like on top of everything. I suppose like, I just feel sometimes like, I probably put pressure on myself to kind of keep performing. And I suppose like, you're going out there, and like, with the standard going up here, you're like, you want to keep racing. And like, I know I don't always have to win, but I'm just that kind of competitive person, do you know what I mean? Like, just trying to stay on top of things.
Yeah, it's such a hard thing, you know, especially when you were I suppose, the first, one of the first in the single in this country. But I suppose, like, you're, I don't know if you know this, but you're such an inspiration, like, even to me now, having gotten involved in the sport, and obviously you were in the single before me, and seeing the work that you've put in and what you've achieved because of kind of the commitment you've given. You're just such an inspiration to me, and I know to many others as well around the country.
Thank you. But and that's what I kind of, I wanted to show, like, I just wanted, like, I'm just a normal person, like you said, working, or like people are doing exams in college, like, do at different stages in their life. But I just wanted to show that it can be done, like, you know what I mean, like, if you yeah. truly love for sport, like, it doesn't even have to be sport, like, if you love dancing or playing an instrument or something, if that's what you really love doing, like, you'll always make time for it in your life. And I think it's very important to do that. But, and I just want, like, younger kids, even in our club, just to see what can be achieved, you know what I mean? And, like, yeah. mm-hmm. like, when you train and you are committed to something, like, results will come. And, like, it's thank you for saying I'm an inspiration. That means a lot. But, like, I hopefully, like I said, even here in Ireland, that, like you do see younger, like, especially even some of the younger girls even coming in and doing the beach sprints and doing the endurance and stuff. And it just shows, like, it is building here and it is growing. And I just, I'm so glad to have done, and kind of came from like background in skiffs and not even the river kind of set up, and just that you can get into this and you can learn and improve on it, you know what I mean? And just kind of help others and kind of maybe more promote the sport now here and to get more people involved in it, and just, and anyone can go to the level. And I'd say there's going to be more people to go achieve more than I have achieved, but at least I can just show now that, like, it is possible to do what you actually want to do, you know?
Yeah, it's incredible, honestly incredible. So the next thing I want to talk to you about, I think this is a really interesting topic, is the whole area of health and wellness. So obviously you're involved in sport, you're training a lot, you're very physically active, and I suppose we think of when people are physically active that they're automatically really healthy. But, like, I know from my own experience that it can really take its toll on your body and mind, you know, if you're training a lot, if things get a bit intense, you're racing a lot. And so, like, you know, you can go around and you can be exhausted, and it might start affecting other areas of your life. So have you found that yourself in your own, I suppose, over the years when you've been involved in sport, has it taken its toll on your health and well-being?
I'd say it has. Yeah, like, I suppose, especially when you're trying to continually compete, like, to a high standard, like, it can take a toll mentally and physically, really, like, especially when you're not from a high performance background, and like I said, you're just an everyday person, and, like, you're trying to excel at the top of your sport. And, like, I suppose more mentally, like, I feel like there can be now pressure or expectations of, like I'm the kind of person, I'd hate to let anyone down. And like, when others have kind of put so much time and effort into to train and prepare for races, like, I'm just like, I have to do my best for these people. And I suppose, looking back, and even as recently as last year, like, I probably haven't been the best kind of listening to my body and kind of finding ways to slow down and relax when it was needed. Because, like, even the last 2 years, like, it's probably kicked up a gear, you know? And, like, even in, so last year we went to the Europeans in San Sebastian, and, like, this was after we'd been to the Worlds, and, like, at that competition I was just physically and mentally drained and exhausted. Like, if I wasn't just out on the water, I was just back in the hotel sleeping, and, like, on the way to the airport we're going home, and I fainted, and I just kind of knew I'd pushed myself too far. So, like, and that was because that was a long season last year, and it was like you're trying to be the best, like, all season long, and it is kind of, it's mentally tough to do that, you know? So I've taken a different approach this year. So I'm trying to, like, slow things down and kind of to enjoy rowing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to get the pressure off me in terms of performing. But, like, again, this is probably more so in my own head, you know, and, like, I'm trying to change my mindset a little bit, I'd say, nearly, like, before I probably, like, going out to each race, and because I was kind of feeling pressure, I was like, I have to kind of medal or do really well here. So, like, now I'm kind of taking the attitude that I'd have to go out and win every race. Like, I can't peak for every race, especially when the season's so long. So I'm trying to kind of listen to my body more and kind of race for myself, and like just trying to kind of stay on that kind of like kind of, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like when you're constantly doing the competitive stuff, like it can be stressful, you know. And like I do love rowing because like when you just row to enjoy it, just you can just clear your mind and you're just going out to relax and do it. So like I said, like I'm just trying to kind of take a different approach like this year, to try like kind of settle things down and just go out, and then hopefully then when we compete like in the Worlds and stuff towards the end of the year, I'd be kind of more informed for it then. I'm just trying to kind of listen to my how my body's feeling, or if like if I'm tired physically or mentally, just to take a break, you know. And I think that's the most important thing to remember, is just to like, you do need a break, you know what I mean? Just, and you have to listen to yourself and see how you're feeling. But like that's kind of how I've changed, I suppose. It's only been kind of in the last year since what happened that like after the Europeans in 2022. So like we'll see how it works out anyway, just trying to kind of relax and kind of take it a bit more easy.
I think that's a great idea, and I hope and I think that you'll see the benefit and reap the reward for doing that when it comes to like the big competitions and championships later on this year. Like I know myself over the years, you know, even local regattas that would be on around here, and you just put so much pressure on yourself to try and perform and get results, and you know that obviously affects you mentally, and it's going to affect you physically because you're trying to train harder to get those results. And yeah, it really takes its toll, but I think there comes a point when your body's just like no more.
It will definitely, and like it's probably just more myself putting the pressure on, just kind of like, oh, if I did turn up, it's like, oh, why is she not racing today, or like what's wrong? Like I'm just like, it's to be honest, like even we'd have we could have like little club races here, and like I'd be going out there like, oh, like let's go. I just need to just to calm it down a little bit, I think. So
yeah, I think that's such a great approach to take, and hopefully you'll see the benefits now come the end of the year. So tell me, let's talk about your hopes for the future. So last year you came fourth. Mm-hmm. Are you hoping to do better than that now in the next few years?
Well, I'll see what happens. I go out there and I'll race to the best of my ability, and I will see what comes of it. Like, you know, like I said, there's so many elements in this type of race, and that anything can happen, do you know what I mean, at any stage. Like, so I'll just I'll go out and I'll give it my all, and we'll see where I come.
yeah that's all you can do with it. But I love the list that your fiance Cormac comes out with at every Worlds, where it shows all your results and how much you've improved over the years, and he's so proud showing it to everyone. But as we mentioned already, like there's so much to it. Like you've no idea who could come out of the woodwork and show up at the next Worlds. And again, like the conditions and elements, there's just so much to it, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. Like, and like you could have like, yeah, you look at a list and you kind of know like the names that are there. But like you said, anyone could turn up. Like you could have some people that haven't even been in this sport before. And like I said, like the standard each year is just going up and up as well. So like, hopefully that list of Cormac's I can keep improving on it, but we'll just wait and see. Like I don't want to put too much pressure, because then I'll just get kind of caught up and anxious and worried. Like I'm just going to go out there and enjoy the race and enjoy like all the races up to it, and just kind of see how I go.
Brilliant, Sheena. I love that approach. Okay, so just before we finish up, I wanted to ask you, it's something I ask all my guests, and it is about your anchors, or the things that you do in your life to kind of stay on top of your health and well-being, and to make sure that you feel good.
But it's like, I suppose to stay on top of like fitness and stuff would be rowing, but I know to kind of on like to get away from the competitiveness of it, like, you know, I'd go out and kind of even now enjoy rowing and start rowing in doubles and quads and kind of with other people, and going out and like training them and just talking about it, and just like not going out with a competitive mindset the whole time. But like, even like, I know this may sound even simpler silly, but like even in my own head, like I just love like going out and walking my dog. Like, you know, I do it every day, and that kind of just, I suppose in a sense, it just kind of pulls me out of training mode, you know what I mean? And you're still kind of getting in a little bit of exercise, and I find like that's good for the head, you know. And even to switch off, just spending time with family and and friends, and like even this year to try and relax, I even booked a non-rowing related holiday, so the first time in like 4 or 5 years. So like, this is why I'm trying to like relax this year. And like, yeah, I suppose like that's just really how I'm kind of now managing my health and wellness, really. Yeah. Like, and that's kind of my focus for this year, and see how that approach goes.
Brilliant. Well, I look forward to seeing how the season and the next few years ahead transpire for you, and best of luck with everything. And thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
No problem at all. Thank you for having me. Yeah, it was great.
Thank you for listening to the Anchor Wellness Podcast. I hope you got something out of listening to the chat today. Until next time, keep striving to be healthy.